Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, did humans naturally evolve, or did we come into being through the deliberate alteration of our genes? Daniela Fenton believes it's the latter. She says aliens crashed into our planet some 780,000 years ago after an intergalactic shootout and then set about creating Homo sapiens. Daniela's book is called Hybrid Humans. Daniela, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. So let's start with chromosome 2. Which appeared in humans or human-type creatures 780,000 years ago. What's interesting or perhaps puzzling about it?
Well, it seems that apart from its appearance, it appears that it's almost like it was replicated and put back in to the actual structure, which makes it sort of like an oddball situation, how it actually happened and why it came to be about. Because right after that happened, we find that the brain actually got larger in the species. So you can sort of like, if you're thinking about it from a scientific point of view, you can think, well, how did this occur? You know, what happened during that time for this to actually happen? And what was the use of creating a larger brain and having it suddenly appear around, you know, 780,000 years ago, 800,000 years ago? A number of anomalies came up that actually sort of like connected the dots for us, because up until then, like, we had been looking at, well, my husband and I, Bruce Fenton, we had been looking at a series of genetic codes and things that were occurring up until that time. And, you know, it's sort of like that's where the stumbling block sort of like stopped us. And we thought, right, how can this happen at this specific point and then a whole bunch of other things are happening on Earth at the same time? Apart from the chromosome 2 and the genetic part of the story, which is in the book, we also see a series of other things happening around the same time frame.
In short, the arrival of chromosome 2 increased brain size, but also the development. So it was the key part in making intelligent Homo sapiens.
Exactly. And I think the theory behind that was exactly to make an intelligent Homo sapien, but also that would be the key part to actually creating the whole rest of it. Because if you're thinking about it, if you're going to do some genetic handiwork, the first part you would start is on the brain. You wouldn't start physically on the body and then go to the brain. The first thing would be the brain so that the rest of it can follow on from there. So that's where we thought there had been some kind of genetic manipulation, and it had to have happened from another source, because that's where the intelligence, the whole thing, just starts to sort of like go on a roll to creating the rest of us.
Are you sure it wasn't just evolution?
Yeah, I mean, but it would have been a gradual change. This is a change that happened suddenly, and it's a change that from then on, you know, we started to develop differently. Things that were happening before were not happening after that point. And I think what actually occurred was, if you've looked at the book and people that will read the book, you'll find that My theory behind it is that it was obviously genetic modification at that point in time, which then created that sort of like Xeroxing or splicing up of the genes and like re-putting them back into the code. So it's not possible for that to happen naturally, where you've got genes that are replicating themselves in that way. And then, you know, from then on, suddenly we've got a large brain and then, you know, the rest of us starts to change. I don't believe it's possible.
And did that happen, as far as you can tell, in one part of the world or in various locations around the world all at the same time?
Well, that's one thing I'm still looking at, because there might be a second book in regards to that, you know, with that particular part. The person that really like goes into the genes is my husband, Bruce Fenton, who had his book come out just before the one that I released. The one that I released, it was a really complicated project, because to have to prove, you know, that we've had this change happened 780,000 years ago and that suddenly it happened this way, and we've got scientists confirming, you know, the Xeroxing and putting and cutting bits out, putting them back in, naturally, that doesn't really happen in nature. We believe it started to happen in Australia. The source that we sort of followed in regards to this actually came out of a book that was written in 2002, but we didn't actually come into contact with that book until 2010. And that book is actually available. It's called Alcheringa, When the First Ancestors Were Created, by an Australian medium called Valerie Burrow. And in that book, she has a recollection of a past life memory. And she's also a regression therapist, a past life regression therapist. So she came into contact with up to 30 people that gave her different accounts of a story that fitted around that time frame of, she claims it was around 900,000 years ago, but then looking at the data, it sort of pinpointed between 780 to 800,000 years ago when the changes came. And during, like, if people read the book, you'll find like bits and pieces about the genes, bits and pieces about a mothership exploding over Australia, which is where, you know, these people came down, and that's where the genetic modifications began. And if you go back to Bruce Fenton's book, Into Africa, The Forgotten Exodus, that book will describe how the hominids came from, like, were in Australia and moved up towards the other continent and went through Asia. So, I mean, fitting things all into place, it was a little bit complicated, but I think that originally they started off in Australia.
Now, as you alluded to there, around the same time, 780,000 years ago, give or take, you reckon this spacecraft exploded. Bits of it landed all across Australia, and they're known nowadays as the Australite tektite buttons, which
exactly.
Are these kind of very strange pieces. Are they pieces of quartz or what are they made of?
Well, they are crystal. But the thing about these particular pieces is that they have a double melting. So the only place where this could have happened, where this actual mothership exploded in space and then produced this material and then it came down with the double melting is if it actually did explode in space and not as it came down towards Earth.
Right.
Because
okay.
You'd only have a singular melting if that happened with normal tektites, but with the specific Australite, you've got a double melting effect. And scientists that have been looking at this material, they haven't really found what it's actually made out of. They cannot put their finger on it, but it does date back to that same time frame of 780,000 years ago. And it is strewn across Australia. You can find bits of it in Thailand, in parts of Asia, in other parts also. But, I mean, the majority of the impact would have happened over Australia and a specific location called Broken Bay in Gosford, just above Sydney. And that's where you'll find the bulk of it.
Now, this spacecraft exploded, yes, it would still be the case that some of the occupants, at least, of that craft also came down to Earth intact.
Yes, some of them did. There were several ships that managed to escape because what actually happened was that it was an ambush. And you can imagine this. It's just incredible. The story is that there was this mothership that was made out of crystal and it had its own intelligence. So it was a very, like, strange material in itself. It wasn't metal. And that when the attack happened, it exploded and bits of this came down. And during the explosion, several ships, smaller ships, managed to escape. And some of the occupants managed to come down towards that area of Gosford on Broken Bay. There's a harbour. Some of the people obviously didn't make it. And it is said that on this ship there was a crew of up to 50,000 people on board. So very few of those actually managed to come down. And when they came down to Gosford, they were not able to breathe. It was very difficult. Like, I would probably say very few of them survived. And with the little technology that they had left, because their plan A had been blown out of the sky, basically, their plan B was to, with what they had left, try to continue with the modification of the hominins here to somehow get their own genes back into the planet. Because at that point when this happened, the planet was being handed back to them. So this was like an attack. It was a horrific incident. The accounts of people that have been interviewed by Valerie Burrow in the book Alcheringa tell of the accounts. You've got cases of people from one side of the story and from the other, people actually involved in the attack, bringing this mothership down. You've got people on the other side of it saying, yes, we were bombarded, we're fleeing, you know, we arrived, some of us pass away, some of us, you know, live to tell the story, but very, very few of them survived.
When you say the planet was being handed back, that kind of implies people owned the planet. Who were these creatures who owned the planet?
The story goes that the planet was there were supposed to be an alliance, and the planet was supposedly run by reptilians, and it was supposed to be handed back to a different group from a different part of the galaxy. In that, we include people that came down from the Pleiades. And so they were supposed to be handing back the planet because, you know, they'd had enough of the situation from the other parts of the universe. And so they had an agreement that the planet had to be handed back, and that, you know, that these people that were here that had enslaved the hominins were to leave. And basically, as soon as the mothership came down and got close enough, they bombed it and decided that they weren't going to hand it back. So what little was left was, you know, basically we have to sort of like instill our genes into the people that are available to do that, since we can't leave, we can't fly back out, everything's been destroyed, there's hardly anything left, all our technology, you know, was on this mothership, so whatever they had left, it was like a plan B or a plan C just to survive, and many of them didn't.
And so they infused some of their genes into the hominins there existing,
exactly.
Which resulted in Homo sapiens. The people who did the bombing, who were in control of the planet, where are they now? What happened to them?
Well, some of them are still here. Some of them are still here. Some of them left. The connections between, for example, like Earth to the Pleiades and Earth to different other locations is said to be sort of like connected through wormholes. And some of them, yeah, obviously a lot of them did leave, but some of them did remain behind. So we've got this constant, and it's like it's all over the world. We can see that we've got people, you know, trying to do the right thing, and then you've got another, seem to be like another breed of people, you know, sort of like, no, we're going to enslave people, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it gets down to the nitty-gritty part of politics, I guess.
And the two planets that these two races came from, have they visited us since?
Well, it's possible that they have been visiting us the whole time, and that back then, if you can think about 780,000 years ago, if they had this crystal type mothership with its own intelligence, can you imagine where they would be now, how far ahead they would be now, that it's possible that they wouldn't even need to come down and, you know, sort of make an appearance. They could be just tapping into our subconscious mind and, you know, installing information, and we could be downloading every time we go to sleep. So, I mean, I think that the visitations are still occurring. I don't believe that they have to be physical. And, you know, this is something that could be affecting all of us, you know, without knowing, or, you know, some people obviously on a higher level with more expanded consciousness are aware that this is occurring. Obviously, we've had, you know, lots of accounts all the time of people, you know, being contacted and abductions and things like that, and other people just having downloads of information. So I believe it's still happening, yes.
Yeah, though I'm sure you're aware that not everybody would believe a theory like this, and they must be aware not everyone would believe a theory like this. So why don't they just kind of land in front of the White House or in front of the Sydney Opera House, and everybody can then see them and go, ah, right, it's true.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah, absolutely. That would be, I mean, for many people that don't believe, that would be the ideal, because it would be the tangible evidence that they would need. The problem that I see with that is that if they were to do that, if they were to land, for example, on the White House lawn, it would be the perfect storm to create a backlash and to start a bombardment of these people coming down to visit and to make that contact. I think that they know, and they're very aware, that if they do that, they would create a horrific situation where they would be attacked, and it would be similar to what already happened 780,000 years ago. I think it would be a repeat of the same story.
Okay. The name of the book is Hybrid Humans. The author is Daniela Fenton. Daniela, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.